Accession number 27322, Reel 6.
We moved at the end of the year to Mestre, which is at the landward end of the causeway, which links Venice to the mainland. So every trip to area sub-district was to, if I wanted to get vouchers signed or anything, was first of all a jeep ride into Piazzale Roma, catch a boat and along the Grand Canal to 86 sub area headquarters to get me little ticket signed.
How lovely.
And usually I'd be offered a lift. I was standing there at the edge with papers. Some officer or other would, with his motorboat would stop and offer me a ride. Usually a padre. They were very good at giving lifts. And, yes, that bit was great. Yeah.
Was it work hard? I mean, did you work hard or was it more cruising now?
It was basically cruising. Because by then we knew that the battalion was breaking up. Because by then the War Office had said there would only be one battalion kept, and as we were the second, this was the first that was kept. So while most of this was going on, my job was to take everything back, get everything back that we got back to depot. In a year I'd gone the whole round from trying to fill the place to trying to empty it. And
how much was wasted? Was there a huge amount of waste?
Tremendous waste. We took back. First of all, we had three 1500 weights and a 3-tonner. We only had the 1500 weights to tow the 6-pounders. We'd only got three of them by then, obviously. Three or four. We certainly hadn't got six. And that was went more or less according to plan. It was all heavy stuff. But then they gave me a couple of 3-tonners to take the stuff back with. I had a guard on the 3-tonners, and they went back fairly well. But then they allocated me a 10-ton Mack, big American truck, the RSC driver. And I said, look, we only got one truck now. I don't need an outside driver. Let Bill do it. Now, Bill was it was almost old Bill. He was second Essex. He joined the machine gun corps in 1917, joined the second Essex in 1919, and he was still there.
What was his name?
Bill. I can't remember his second name. He's always Bill to me and Bill to everybody else. His second name's gone.
Yeah. How old was he by now?
40-something. He'd been up to sergeant so many times and broken that same number of times. All the same reason. Drink, of course. And so he'd finished up as RSM's batman in the second. And he had been in the second, I say, since 1919. India and everywhere else, he knew everything and everybody. And they'd made him RSM's batman because that was one way he kept in the sergeant's mess. Because he slept in a little bit of the sergeant's mess. The RSM had been demobbed. Well, retired, I suppose. And they said, the archaeologist came along to me, he said, look, Bill's only got a few months to go, probably, so we want him kept out of trouble. And we said, you know what his trouble is? I said, yeah, keep him out of it. Let him, you know, have a few beers, but don't let him get drunk again. Don't let him spoil his record. I said, okay, then, take him on. And he said, he has been a storeman. So Bill became my storeman. Because it was all going back, we had our own stores, given a bit of this depot, of this barracks, as our stores, where we collected all the stuff in and got it back. And he became my storeman and my batman, because we were allocated two Austrian POW to help, so we made them storemen, which they did very well. And Bill and I, so I looked after Bill and he looked after me.
So it was a strange alliance, really, from you looking very young. And
yeah, he was great.
A grizzled old.
But he was big. He could pick a bale of blankets up and he could hit the front board of a truck with them. He had tremendous strength. So anyway, we used to go off to Udine from Mestre with our 10-tonner. Either loaded or part loaded. Some of it got back there. If it wasn't saleable, it certainly got back there. But when it got back there, if it was burnable, it was burned.
Really?
If it wasn't burnable, they ran a Sherman recovery tank over it. And that went for radios, everything we took back.
So you might as well flog it along the way.
Might as well flog it along the way if we could. I mean, it was sensible to do it.
Mm-hmm. I expect you had regular customers.
As long as we gave the QM his share when we got back. Mm-hmm. Well, he was taking it out in 1,500 weight loads. So everybody was doing it. Well, it was sensible, mm-hmm. but it was annoying as well, because mm-hmm. we got all this old rubbish of trucks. And they were selling brand new trucks to the Italians. We passed a great big MT depot on the way into Udine. They were taking trucks out every day, mainly pulling them out because there's no petrol in them. But they were brand new. No debarger, and all the stuff we were getting to our stores was all old stuff. I myself had a brilliant Australian uniform, all in very fine, not serge at all. Looked like Barathea to me, when I knew the word Barathea after the war, you know. Yeah. Yes, it's very, very fine. Yeah. Grey, a real grey colour. Yeah. Stood out a mole from everybody else. I think my then ATS girlfriend had the blouse off me when I was demobbed. Well, just after I was demobbed.
So how long were you here at Trieste or Udine?
6 months each way. Because I was deferred. Right. That was the that.
So
was,
you did a year there altogether with that? Or, yeah.
Yeah, I was. I didn't do 6 months, but I was slapped. I'd got 6 months deferred operationally vital. In my pay book.
Oh, right, yeah.
And I only did about a month, I think. Because as soon as I got the stuff back, they let me go.
Right, yeah. So when was it you actually left the army?
Left it first.
12/47.
That's right. Yeah, roughly, yeah. I had the full 3 months. Mm. Demob leave.
Right. So when you heard that you were going to be demobbed, what were your feelings then? Did you want to go by then?
Mixed. I think if I'd been with something like the Worcesters, I may have opted for another 12 months
or 2 years. Have stayed on, could you?
Oh yeah. No, I couldn't with this. I could have done, but I'd had to have gone somewhere I don't know where, because I say they were breaking up. They did break up only a few months later.
When did you get made corporal?
On and off. I never kept it long enough to get my 6 months in to make it permanent.
Why did you lose it? Was it because you moved?
Moved.
Right.
Kept moving.
Yeah.
In the 5th Battalion, then the 2nd Battalion, then I went.
Did you think, I mean, towards the end, that you could make a career in the army?
Well, I think I was wrong. If I had done, I think I would have been wrong to have done so, because it would have absolutely blown me off.
Really?
Yes, the red tape, and oh, I couldn't have stood the post-war army, really.
Right.
It was just so, well, I was there because it was National Service had only just... Mm. Yes, it had started, hadn't it, from January 47, mm. something like that.
Yeah, roundabout.
I know when I got back to the barracks, they were re-equipping the barracks for National Service, and then putting bedside lamps in and individual... lockers and that kind of thing, which we'd never had.
Yeah. So when you left Italy to come back to be demobbed, did you?
I came back on Python, actually.
Oh, right, yeah.
Because mm-hmm. I got my 3 years overseas service first.
Right, yeah. Okay, and where was the 2nd Essex based?
No, I didn't come back with
you
them.
You didn't come back with
no.
them?
No. I went back to the depot.
Which depot was that? Sorry.
Essex Depot, yeah.
Yeah. Where was that?
Oh, what's the name of the place? In Essex. Uh-huh. Not Brentwood. Worley.
Worley
Barracks.
Right.
Ford Headquarters, UK.
Right. And what was the demob process like? You went straight into sort of demob?
No, while I was out, I'd done a silly thing. Obviously, the last job I did for the battalion was a blanket exchange. And as usual, I was told to fiddle it to make sure I brought back more than went. It wasn't that you wanted them, but that's what you did, of course. Which I did, and we brought a lot more back than we took. But they're not sure, that I sat on a pile of infected blankets and I got sores right across my bottom, which they said was something like desert sores. So when I came home on my 4 weeks leave, I saw my own doctor, dad and mum's doctor. He tried to see what he could do, but it didn't really work. At the end of the 4 weeks, I was up the pub celebrating my uncle's demob, who was in the RAF and been called up late, with him. And Mum came up on a bike and said, "Get back home quick. There's an ambulance and an officer and a bloke waiting for you." So he'd come, and they thought I was fiddling, because I hadn't got back. But Mum said when he came in and saw my picture, with medals and everything on, he decided, and Mum said, no, if he'd been all right, he'd have been back by now and demobbed. So he was quite happy. And he said, you can either go back to the depot or you can come with me. And their hospital was out along off the country road somewhere outside Birmingham. It was hard to get to, and I didn't think there was any public transport anyway. So I said, "I'll go back to the depot." So I went back to the depot. The MO took one look at me and said, "Right, Colchester in the morning." I whipped off to Colchester Hospital. And I had 3 weeks in there.
Right. Well, they know what it was, or?
I knew what to do about it. They just stood me up every morning, three times a day, and sprayed me with penicillin.
Oh, mm-hmm.
If I'd have been allergic to penicillin, that would have been the time, because I must have taken more penicillin in than was ever allowed afterwards.
Yes.
Because it was early days for penicillin, of course.
Yes. Yeah.
And then I came back and I was demobbed.
Right. And where did that process take place?
Aldershot.
Right. And what was it like with it?
It was all right.
Yeah. And what were your feelings as you faced the end of your career and the beginning of your service?
Very ambivalent. It had been my life for 4.5 years. In a lot of ways, I was sorry. Otherwise, I was pleased to be home and picking up a proper life again. But, I didn't know what I wanted to do.
Did you want to do what you were doing before, or did you think no?
No, and I couldn't anyway, because they'd told me not. They'd told me at the hospital not to, because of being didn't want me shouldn't work in a bad environment. So I didn't at first. I took me to mob leave, and most of it. Then a nasty letter from the Ministry of Labour saying you either get yourself a job or we'll post you down the mines or some of you. So off I went to the local labour exchange. A friend of mine was working in there from school. And I said, I've had this letter, what am I going to do? He said, well, you better do what they say and get a job. I said, what jobs you got? And he said, well, I've got a couple, he said, with the City of Birmingham Gas. So that'll do. What's the pay? He said, reasonable. He said, I think it's reasonable. So I went along for an interview, and the pay was reasonable. So I took it.
Mm. And that was your career, was it?
As it happened. Company, yeah. I had a weird career originally. Because I'd had an interview with a personnel manager of one of the companies Dad worked with. And he'd said that I could have a job since the vacancy, and I was waiting for the vacancy. But that was in personnel anyway. But
what did you end up doing with the gas company? What did
personnel you... services manager for West Midlands Gas.
Right. So you went into it was a people thing very much.
That's right. Yeah. Yes, I'd decided by then that's what I wanted to do. But by the time I come out of the army, I'd got fairly clear ideas. Mm. But it stuck for a while, largely because the pay was far better in the gas, with the Birmingham Gas, and then obviously West Midlands Gas Board, than it was, would have been, if I'd taken this job with one of Dad's firms. He worked for part of Tubes Investment.
Right.
And,
so your army experience... experience is useful, but fitted you quite well for the job you ended up
it
doing.
It did, yes, in a lot of ways, because I got used to getting on with people.
Mm. Mm. What else do you think the army taught you?
I don't know even use the... I don't think I could ever use these sort of traditional things like self-reliance, because the one thing the army doesn't teach you is self-reliance. You rely on everybody else. Everything's done for you, and I'm sure that's what would have got to me if I'd have tried to stay on. I don't know, a lot of it's useless, I suppose, but I think the main thing is growing up in a different environment.
When you came out of the army, did you have any difficulty sleeping or any nightmares or
not to my knowledge?
No.
Probably did, but don't think so.
Do you feel stressed looking back?
Yeah. I think it's to some extent it set me up. Certainly set me up to do things. Made me even more determined to do things. For myself, not for myself, but to do things. I think I did, somewhere through the army. Never knew how. Never have worked it out, but I developed a social conscience. The army turned me from a conservative into a fairly strong Labour supporter.
I suppose you've seen a lot of bad things happen to a lot of people, really, haven't you?
Released
that thought.
Probably, that, But, I mean, I must have had part of that from doing this first aid stuff.
Absolutely.
Early on.
Absolutely.
I don't know.
It's been a fascinating story. Is there anything else you want to add?
No, I think Mindless is a typical story of a reinforcement, which you don't read very often.
Yes. But there were lots of them.
Yeah.
I assure you, yes.
Yes, there were lots
of
them.
They never actually felt they belonged anywhere.
No.
Or certainly not for very long.
Yeah, when you think that our division turned over about 3 times in numbers.
Yes.
In 11 months.
Yeah.
If you look at the casualty list.
Yes. that's
and
right.
You realise that most of the casualties were in the infantry anyway. And they had 10,000, over 10,000 in 11 months.
That's right.
That's about just.
So you were one of those?
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Came
in.
I don't know really. No. It took me a while to get into personnel. Rather a long way around, but.
Yeah. That's excellent. Right. Well, thank you very much indeed.
Mm.
It's been fascinating. And I'll say Dennis Keane, end of Reel 6.
Mm.